Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-65-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions. Listen to the show live. You can contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: race, white power, and the population. It's not a true classification and was created to facilitate white supremacy and slavery. Why do institutions continue to identify and use the term race? Is there some subliminal message? How does being a minority race impact on whites or some whites in the USA? From a history, the construction of race and racism from Western States Center, Dismantling Racism Project, says that race is a false classification of people that is not based on any real biological or scientific truth. In other words, the distinction we make between races has nothing to do with scientific truth. Race is a political construction. A political construction is something created by people that is not a natural development. It is constructed or created for a political purpose. The concept of race was created as a classification of human beings with the purpose of giving power to white people and to legitimize the dominance of white people over non-white people. Christian religions debated if Africans and Indians had souls. Pay close attention to this part right here, because this is all very relevant to the word, the term race. The Catholic Church was the first to admit blacks and Indians had souls, which meant in many Catholic colonies, it was against the law to kill a slave without reason. Ain't that nice? Not against to have a slave, but to kill him without reason. So that's also an indication that they just, you know, killed slaves, you know, wantonly, you know, just without any kind of ethical, you know, reason for killing them. I guess it's, they looked the wrong way, they kill them, whatever. The Protestant Calvinist Church wanted to separate and distinguish themselves from Catholicism, and therefore was much slower in recognizing the humanity of Africans, Indians. Now, mind you, these churches are held by, led by people. In this case, we have the Europeans. With the increasing importance of slavery, right? They're importing more slaves, right? Religion was used as a means to justify racist divisions. Classify people of color as pagan and soulless. So you had to debase them in order to treat somebody the way you know they were treating these people. You had to see them not as a person, which is, I don't know how you do that. They have two arms, two legs, a head, you know, everything that everybody else has. Anyway, I'm going to keep going. However, as substantial numbers of people of color were converted to Christianity and as the religion itself lost much of its power as a legitimizing agent, justification for the brutality of slavery changed. The slave-based economy in the South necessitated a racist, exploitative system, which led to the development of biological, zoological, and botanical theories to explain human differences and to justify slavery. So it's the people just straight up lied about all of the, in their science. So ethnicity refers to a particular group of people that share some common ancestry, tradition, language, or dialect. So there's something that you can use to identify people, which they do use today. But I noticed that they use all race and ethnicity together, which is strange considering the origin of the word race as they use it today, you know. So online etymology dictionary says that definition of race is a strong current of water. These are the old definitions before this whole thing, before race became applied to people. The act of running, you run a race, you know, Carl Lewis and all them cats, the Olympics and stuff like that. So Then we have race, people of common descent, a word from the 16th century, from Middle French, race, earlier raza, race, breed, lineage, family. That's very important, breed, because that was the term they used, as we're going to go further on, to identify horses, animals, and things like that. So I'm going to go right to race in 1580, in the sense of stock or breed of living things, the races of mankind, where humans were divided into a few fixed races, came later in the 1700s. The word came well after the start of the transatlantic slave trade. It came just after two words, Negro, 1555, and Indian, middle 1500s, in the sense of Native Americans, Indians, right? It entered English and just before whites became white in the early 1600s. So these terms, they were hooking up to divide and judge who was who. It's cutting up the cake, who was who. Who's on top, who's on the bottom, who's under the bottom. So they would, you know, these and during these time periods, 1500s and the 1600s. So they say our race is never, they said that from the old, far from being as old as the human nature, race is never than guns. Race is newer than guns and ocean going ships, newer than printed books and looking glasses. So race is a term. It's newer than books, glasses, boats that sail on the sea. That's how it's pretty relatively new in terms of mankind. That's what they're saying here. It does not even appear in the King James Bible, which they tried to use to justify slavery. Also, they say something about Shakespeare had something clearly meant in Shakespeare used it as a stock or breed or bloodline. In Henry VI, Part 2. Most likely came from the Spanish word, which is where the English also got Indian and Negro. So the word race would have been sounded like raza to the English, which race is a reasonable Englishization of the word. So the English just pronounced it like that. So, but remember that race in the beginning had nothing to do with a designation for mankind. It was actually like we call race today, the race and racing water, which we don't really say that now. We say running water, or race, like you run a race, and we still use that term today, right? So race did not become a main word for the division of mankind until the 1700s with the rise of this scientific racism. Remember, they made all these different scientists to support their ideas about Africans and Indians not having a soul. The thinking is that they don't have a soul, they're not human. Therefore, if you do anything you want to do to them, like a dog, I guess, you know, I would assume even a dog got a soul, though. I don't know. But, you know, because you wouldn't do anything to a dog. Dog have feelings and things like that, too. So they care about their young, and they love, and they have relationships and things like that, even relationships with human beings. So, you know, just to be that cruel to somebody, to raise a generations of people to debase people, to maintain and perpetuate the institution of slavery is what happened. And this word race, and I'm going to be saying this throughout tonight, the word race caught on because it fit in the growing racism of the English-speaking word, which instead of dividing mankind by nation, language, or religion like everyone else, divided it strangely into a breeding stock, as if people, or at least some people, were just animals without soul or speech or country. So that's, you know, so now that's white supremacy, because, you know, did these people believe that? It sounds like if they didn't believe it, they taught people to believe it. They indoctrinated people to believe that. So, therefore, you have, you know, just imagine how many people might feel that way today. How much of that lingers on today in terms of white supremacy, the feeling of being, you know, better than a person because of their so-called race. And we still use this term, and you'll see on a lot of documents, they ask you what ethnicity and race that you are and things like that. So the idea of race appears to be a tool of white supremacy. This is from Provocative Thought. It is not based on any real or accurate biological or scientific truth. If race is such a fallacy, why does the U.S. Census continue to utilize the term in their census? Why does anyone use it? If race is a term used to perpetuate and maintain the institution of slavery, particularly the enslavement of the so-called Africans and African Americans and indigenous people of North America, why wasn't the term discarded after being identified as a racist tool? Now, that's a good question. That's a fair question because it's being used today. So, and as I said, ethnicity refers to particular groups of people that share some common ancestry, traditions, language, or dialect. Why did we continue to use this term? Maybe it has something to do with who has the power. Maybe it's still in play. Population statistics. We're just going to go over a couple of statistics here. Some of these numbers are not consistent. I guess it depends on who takes the census and things like that. But it'll give you a little idea of how things are distributed. How the population is distributed, you know, as they say, ethnicity and race. You know, I have to say it because that's the way they do it. Okay? How many white people are there in the world? Approximately 20. These guys, from answers, they say about 25% of the world's population is white. So they said as of 2014, the population had reached, the world population reached about 7.2 billion. And they said the rate of increase was almost half since its peak, which was reached in 1963. That's very important right there. Of straight European ancestry, there are roughly 800 to 900 million white people. If Latin Americans are to be included, the number would be approximately 1.5 billion. If Indians, Iranians, Pakistanians, Afghans, and other Central Asians of Aryan descent are to be included, the number would be approximately 3.4 billion. However, it must be noted that these same Latin Americans, Indians, Iranians, Palestinians, Afghans, and other Central Asians of Aryan descent are also of non-white descent and would therefore increase the non-white population by 3 to 4 billion. So, what percentage of the world are black? They say 1.3 billion black people in the world. 6.7 billion is the total human population as of January 2009. So about 20%, 7.6 billion. What percentage of the world population is white? About 51% of the world population is Caucasian. It is said that by 2060, only 10% of the world population will be Caucasian. So that's these guys are saying about 51% of the world population is Caucasian, and they might be including those Asians that we were talking about. How many people in the world population are black? Say about 500 million in Africa, plus others around the world, about 25 million, making the total black population to be approximately 525 million people. What percentage of the entire world population is white? Seems to be between 9% and 12%, depending on how Hispanics are counted. Again, if you go again, of course, the Clinton-Clintonian discourse on what is white is an unadulterated, strict European, non-Slav origin of four generations of parentage. So that means for four generations, that's like 40 years just white. You can't have no Asian, you can't have no African, you can't have no Chinese blood in your family. The number could be much lower, probably 5%, but it's impossible to verify. About 18% or 1.2 billion people. So, as you see, these numbers are not the same. About how many white people are in the U.S.? They said about, as of 2014, 2008 survey, 75% of people in the United States are white. This is 2008. That is roughly about 228.2 million people. The Pew Research Center in 2011, from Jeffrey S. Passel, DeVera Khan, and Mark Hugo Lopez, say the 2010 census counted 50.5 million Hispanics in the United States, making up 16.3% of the total population. The nation's Latino population, which was 35.3 million in 2000, grew 43% over the decade. The Hispanic population also accounted for most of the nation's growth, 56% from 2000 to 2010. Now, 9% to 12% of the world population makes whites a world minority numerically. They are not subjugated to any other race unless you take into account divisions within the so-called white race. The Hispanic or Latino population appears to be exploding in the United States, U.S. Census Bureau on Race and Hispanic Origin said. That's what it says. It's just, you know, in the document. It says the U.S. Census Bureau based on race and Hispanic origin. Again, why are they using this word if it has no scientific support to it? We're going to go on with what it said, though. U.S. White alone, 76%. Black, African-American, 13.4%. Asian, 5.8%. Native American, 0.2%. Two or more races, 2.7%. Hispanic or Latino, 18.1%. White alone, not Hispanic, 60.7%. So they're the majority in the United States. Hill TV by Ms. Reed Wilson. And this is 2018. Demographers say the decline in the white population has been coming for decades as Americans decide to have children at later ages and as the baby boom generation moves toward retirement. There are fewer white women in prime childbearing years as a share of the overall population than ever before, and more minorities in childbearing years than ever before. Population is aging rapidly as Americans delay their decision to have a family and as the flow of foreign immigrants from European countries ebbs. I mean, there's not a lot of people, not a lot of white people coming from the, Europe to the United States. White fertility has gone down. There's a little bit less white immigration in the last year, said William Frey, a demographer and sociologist at the Brookings Institution in Washington. As the white population became older, that means that even if fertility gets up a little bit, it's not going to be what it was a long time ago. So even if the fertility rate increases, it's not going to increase, you know, the white population to the numbers that it used to be. Apparently, this is a problem for some people. Slate says, for the first time in history, more than half of American children under the age of one are members of a minority group, according to figures released Wednesday by the Census Bureau. Everyone is familiar with the federal government's classification of race and ethnicity. See that? There it is again. White, black, or African-American, Hispanic, Asian, American Indian, Alaskan Native, Native Hawaiian, or Pacific Islander. Encyclopedia of Britannica. What is the problem with the, being a minority? Here's what they say a minority is. And I know people who are minorities have an idea, and people who are not minorities have an idea, but I'm just going to give this Webster's Dictionary spill on it. It's a smaller in number of two groups constituting a whole, specifically a group having less than the number of votes necessary for control. You understand what that minority? So you're the minority. You have less votes to vote because it's less of you to gain control of the political process. As a part of a population differing from others in some characteristics and often subjected to differential treatment. So that means, remember, black people had to sit on the back of the bus, can't go to the same bathroom, Chinese people, y'all had some of the same problems black people had. Puerto Ricans, same kind of problem. So you're being treated different, and you might be being treated different by law or by people who are administrating the law in terms of police officers might focus on minorities differently than they focus on white groups or individuals. So that's another show right there, but that happens. So Provocative Thought is saying again, minorities have a long history of being debased in the good old USA, excluded from the political economic matrix, right, as the brother just said, right? Neighborhoods, educational institutions, overrepresented in poverty, prisons, and graveyards, through powerful whites fear losing power and the ability to manipulate, dominate, and control the government. Do powerless, uninfluential whites fear losing perceived power and the ability to manipulate, dominate, and control government? Why are some folks so shook up? Is there a power struggle under the umbrella of race and power? The Daily News. The percentage of non-white Hispanic population in the U.S. population has reached an all-time low, 63%. That is 197.7 million white people out of 313.9 million Americans. In 2000, whites were 69% of the population. In 1980, they made up 80%. So did you see the decline right there? So, but non-white deaths outpaced the white birth by 12,419. And the U.S. is on track to becoming a majority-minority country by 2043, according to data from the U.S. Census Bureau. Now, that's interesting right there. It's almost like I could just do a show on some of these things I'm saying in here. But, what do you mean a majority minority? Contradiction, ain't it? It's an oxymoron or something? Like, what in the hell? Anyway, so again, we go through this thing about births. See, basically what I said, just for anybody just chiming in, white off America is not producing as many people to replace the people who are living longer, and the people who are dying. So they're not having a high birth rate to replace. And minorities are, and especially Latino, Hispanics, and things like that. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought, 9042.
Hi, yes. Everything you're saying is true. Number one, I live in West Philly. I take the number 42 bus, and I just take a ride past direct to University of Penn. I like to be watching the people. In the last few years, I noticed that whites, ages at childbearing years, your late teens or 20s to 30, they don't have children. They walk in dogs, sometimes more than one. So they are specifically not birthing children. If they have a child, if they're married, they'll just have one. And Hispanic and other ethnic groups, they welcome children. Therefore, they populate the earth more with more children based on how they relate to life. Children are precious to them, and having them is a joy to them. It's not something they even think about. And then you have in the Islamic race, I saw on myself a bus, when a man got off the bus, he had like five children. It's rare to see five of any from one person. I think she might have been pregnant again. They're encouraged to have children. Not only is this United States Islam, they encourage to have more children. I think it's one of the European countries where white might have one child on the average, 1.1. Islamic have 6 to 8 children. That's deliberate. Mm. They are encouraged to produce children. So, yes, they're frightened in America because several articles came out in the last 5 years or less from them saying that at the rate things go on, half the country will be non-white, over half.
Right.
You know, and that frightens them. And so that's why, another reason why they don't want these people, brown people, you know, people of color that come from the Central America, you know, because
right.
they're not coming from the European country. They have no reason to come over here. They fire where they're at in Sweden, Netherlands. They okay. I mean, they might, one or two might come over, you know, statistically, I'm saying.
Right.
But they ain't a rush to come to America. They things are quite well where they're at. They're not
right.
fleeing nothing. You know, so
right.
yes, they're frightened. The Caucasian race in America is frightened that they will be overcome by people of color. Plus, don't forget to intermarry. I see so many Asian people marrying, particularly Asian women are marrying white men. So they
right.
have that factor. So you got the intermarriage factor, biracial factor. So all those factors mean people of color. Even that young
right.
lady that married Prince Harry is colored. You know, she's colored. She's biracial, you know, up to that level. So, yes, they are frightened. And they have a
since
right
to
have a right for being.
Since you,
okay?
since you mentioned that biracial union, that sounds like not all white people are concerned about that.
Pardon?
Since you mentioned biracial unions, it sounds
right.
like all white folks not worried about that becoming a minority or contributing to that.
But they don't count them in, huh?
It doesn't sound like that the white person that's married or having kids with an Asian or a black person or a Latino don't sound
right.
like they're concerned about this here becoming a minority thing.
Right, right. But they need to because they are intermarrying a lot. Intermarried, the biracial, married another biracial. It's a lot of mixture out there. But so-called pure white is rare, you know, and
right.
they are not deliberately having children. With the abortion of 1 million kids per year, still the majority of people being aborted are white kids.
Right.
You got to keep that in mind also. That's every year.
Right.
You know,
but
if they
have a low birth
up.
Rate. Right.
Yeah, then you have the low birth rate. You have 1 million plus abortions every year in the United States. We talk about the United States. And like I said, majority of those that are being aborted are white. And so you have all those factors. And then having children later, I think you mentioned that, like the late
right.
teen, like 20s and early 30s. And only producing
late
one, 30s. Maybe two every now and then.
Right.
So that adds up. That's a deduction. Whereas
right.
other groups are having more than one. So that's
right.
My thoughts on that. Thank you for bringing the subject up.
All right. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right. See you later. Okay. That's very interesting, you know, you know, what is the big deal about being a minority? Blacks being a minority, blacks, Asians, Hispanics, and Native Americans have been wiped out. And turned into a minority, you know, almost non-existent in this country. So, I mean, everybody that's dealt with this whole issue of being a minority in this country and to, in terms of becoming a minority in this country, I guess most, I mean, you know, the history of slavery here and the history of the extermination of the Native Americans and things like that. You know, biological warfare and things like that. So, I mean, like, who is afraid? Is it a white power thing? Or is it white people thing? Or is it a little bit of both? It's some and maybe some, most, or, you know, I don't know. I know, but it's definitely an issue with some white people about becoming a minority, even a minority to the point that you're no longer 80% of the population. You know, that drop from 80 to 70 to maybe to 60%. That's a problem. Why is that such a problem? Because you no longer control the political process, which is, you know, voting and stuff like that on some levels. You would need the political process to be controlled by the population to outvote other people, other minorities and things like that. But I thought this was a melting pot. Maybe got it all wrong. Maybe the pot's not hot enough, and you know, things aren't melting together the way they should. No matter how many interracial or marriages you see, maybe things just not have melted the way they we would like them to. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being if you want to maintain your European ethnicity, nothing wrong with that. It said, but you shouldn't want to do that at the expense of the life of other people. That's not a good thing to do, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? We don't harm people because we think that we're better or anything like that, or we want to maintain who we are. You know, we preserve what you are because someone's taken away from you. That's different to self-preservation. So, nearly half American children younger than 5 are minorities, and the number of minorities under 18 is expected to surpass the number of white children by 2019. That's next year, y'all. The total minority population has grown 20 times faster than the white, 21 times faster than the white population. Okay, so these demographic shifts have prompted some to wonder whether certain programs such as affirmative action in the college admissions process should be reworked to focus on economic status rather than skin color. The divide between rich and poor is reportedly the largest it has been since 1917. Provocative thoughts of response to just to that last paragraph is that economic status does not address the issues of black, red, indigenous, Asian people being discriminated. So maybe you need both of them, ethnicity and economic status. Continue reading. The Supreme Court is supposed to rule on that issue. I don't know, I didn't get the information on what they what conclusion they came to. Multiracial Americans are the fastest growing racial group, climbing 3.1% to 6 million. Asians were the second fastest growing racial group, rising 2.9%. The total U.S. population only rose 0.75%, which means experts attribute to the weak economy. So people don't have no money. They don't want to have no kids. A weak economy, I can't afford a kid. Bam. You're going to have this, you're going to use this birth control, use whatever type of sexual activity you have that doesn't promote getting pregnant, and you have abortions, right? So John Seeger, president of the Population Connection, an overpopulation research organization program, says he said, despite changes, non-Hispanic whites are still be the largest ethnic group for many years to come. Okay, so provocative thought again. Could this be the reason the U.S. needs a great wall in the southern region? Blacks, Latinos, Chinese, Native Americans, etc. have been the minorities. If it is a democracy, what's the problem? Will all be Americans making decisions in the political arena in the best interest of Americans? Isn't that how it works? This is the melting pot, isn't it? You know, listeners, what do you think? What difference should it make if white people are not the majority? Why? What's the big stink? Control, political control through the voting process? I mean, was that it? Is that an indication that we're not being treated fairly? Does it kind of speak to that? Like, you know, white folks who are in power want to maintain power, or is this just some people in power just don't want to give up their power? Or is it a little bit of both? Are illegal immigrants disrupting the economy by taking jobs from Americans? You know what I'm saying? Are they taking those jobs, those construction jobs from those Americans, those cutting those lawns and stuff like that, fixing those cars, washing those kids, and whatever they else they might be picking those the vegetables, fruits and vegetables? Are they taking jobs, or do they have the jobs that nobody else wants? At least they're working in the U.S. of A., not farming work out to some third world country like some U.S. corporation who value profit over the economic stability and superior industrialization of the U.S. of A. Are whites apprehensive about becoming subjugated under the rule of Latinos or the minority groups? Does that indicate that subjugation is acceptable under the rule of white authority figures? I mean, what's going on here? So, from the Business Insider, United States is rapidly becoming the very first post-industrial nation on the globe. Post-industry, you know what I'm saying? That's producing things, okay? They say that it was America that showed the world how to mass produce everything from automobiles to televisions to airplanes. It was the great American manufacturing base that crushed Germany and Japan in World War II. But now we are witnessing the deindustrialization of America. Tens of thousands of factories have left the United States in the past decade alone. Tens of thousands. That ain't ten, that's tens of thousands. That ain't hundreds, that's tens of thousands. That's jobs skipping town, y'all. Millions of people, millions upon millions of manufacturing jobs have been lost in the same time period. Pay attention to that. Because the question, one of the questions is, how can some guy entering a country illegally cause Americans to lose their livelihood? The United States has become a nation that consumes everything in sight and yet produces increasingly little. OurFuture.org says, some corporations are able to leave the U.S. by engaging in something called inversion. I never heard of this until recently. And basically, inversion is something a U.S. company buys or merges with a non-U.S. company. And the result is that U.S. company can be considered to be a company from the other country. But at the same time, the company keeps most of its operations, etc., inside the U.S. The result is that it might still owe taxes on income reported as made in the U.S., but it owes no taxes on income elsewhere. So provocative thoughts, you know what I'm saying, what up with that? Why are some white people afraid or apprehensive about becoming a minority? It's not like they will become 13% of the population overnight. And what if they did become a legitimate minority? There is strength in numbers, especially if you want to oppress and subjugate others, even your own people. And I just want to say that because all white folks are not rich or not affluent or not powerful and do not have an impact on legislation outside of that voting process on the lower levels. As you can see, Trump lost the popular vote, won the electoral vote. And I don't know anybody that voted in the electoral vote, if you get what I'm saying. So shouldn't Americans be concerned about becoming a deindustrialized nation? That's how the jobs disappear. If you have no jobs, you can't purchase products produced in the marketplace. That's very, very important. Because I just said tens of thousands in the last decade of companies have just left America. They can make more money by paying people less somewhere else and getting away from the taxes and stuff like that. Since everything appears to be for sale or profit, how long before Americans are unable to purchase the items they need to survive, not to mention the things they want? That's very important. If you don't have if Americans, American corporate America, is not supportive of America who they made their money off of in the beginning, right? The stepping stones, the American stepping stones. They don't have any kind of allegiance to them. They don't want to pay them. They don't want to support them, and they're increasing their quality of life. They'd rather go somewhere, take their business somewhere else, because that's exactly like, that's, I'm going to fire you, and I'm going to hire this guy for a nickel over here. And I'm not saying they're paying him for a nickel. They might be. I don't know. But I'm just saying, I'm going to pay these guys. I'm not going to pay y'all taxes. I'm going to go through this little inversion thing right here. I'm going to take this little loop-de-loop and make as much money as I can, find a way to produce as what I want, and make as much as I can. And I'm going to use the law to do it. So, what do you guys think about that? Because it sounds like corporate America and the political machine, which appears to be broken, are the corporates, or the guys that we should be asking a lot of questions to. And we, it's like we had the fox mining the chicken coop up there in Washington. And I guess at the city, state, and all levels, you need to just watch how people are supposed to be represented. You cannot just say they got that and don't pay attention to the so-called politicians. You have to know, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, what their job is, what they can do, what they can't do, what's coming down the pike. And you have to know everything from the city level to the legislative level, right up to the president. So you want to know how everything goes. So you educate yourself, spend some time. You guys, or you got your lap, you got your laptops, you got your tabletops, you got your cell phones. Just take some time out from watching the videos, the big butts, or whatever's going on, whatever thing that you might be watching. Take some time out and learn the political process. Learn about where you are, because you're in a jungle. And if you don't know the terrain of the jungle that you're in, then you will be devoured by something in that jungle. You understand what I'm saying? Something is going to get you. So don't spend all your time absorbing information that's not going to help you improve your quality of life and improve the quality of life of the person next to you, the person you care about, your children, and your children's children. We got to start doing our homework. We got to start paying attention to the political process, because something is going on here that we need to address as a people in this country, in the world. It may be, is somebody playing the race card? Is it evil genius, or are some Americans just that hateful and uninformed? You know, is that much hatred in America? They don't even care. Some Americans don't care that some of the things that's happening is happening to them also, but they put a black face on it, a brown face on it, a yellow face on it, a minority face on it, and it's okay to do them in because you got this idea about them, about the so-called race. I'm just throwing that out there. I've been throwing that out there all night, and it may be indicative of white power for some, but it is definitely an exercise in power, dominance, self-interest, and profit. The profit which not all white Americans have stake in. Follow the money trail. Okay? I'm employing, encouraging all white America, especially poor white and struggling white America, to follow the money trail. See what's happening. Follow the who's making these policies and things like that. It may be some white folks exercising their ability to perpetuate, maintain real power and dominance, but we all can't be kings and queens. All right? There's not a lot of room at the top. White power expressed as white privilege does not put food on the table, clothes on your back, or pay the rent. AXA estimated 8% or 17.3 million white people living in poverty. That's from the U.S. Poverty statistic on race. That's what I call collateral damage. not to mention the working poor who are struggling. White power appears to be an illusion or delusion for some white people. So the term race appears to be a designation, a banner of unification, a smokescreen, and a divider. And you know anything about mass, you know anytime you divide something, you do what? You weaken it, all right? You divide it. You have a whole. The whole is stronger than the half. The half is stronger than a quarter and so forth like that. So, you know, so you divide people like that, you keep them weak. That's what happened to the Africans in Africa. They were divided, and it was easy to conquer them. That's what happened to the indigenous people of North America. They were divided, so they were easily conquered because they were all these little sets, all these little, you know. So that's what's happening in America with everybody being divided, so the people in America are easily manipulated because we are so divided. Why are we divided on this concept of race, which is not even basically a legitimate term? Why does our government and some agencies continue to use this term, which has its origin in racism and slavery and, you know, debasement? As Marvin Gaye says, what's going on? He didn't say it like that, but you get my drift. So, if anybody want to say anything before we got like nine minutes before we leave the air. I need anybody want to call in, please press number one. I want to say we're going to be talking about race, white power, and the population because we got a president that wants to build a wall, stop all these Latinos from coming in the country illegally. You know, and we know if they're in the country illegally, okay, we got that. You know what I'm saying? You know, we understand that's illegal and you have a certain process that you have in place for addressing that. But you know, we have some strange things happening. And, the question is, he seems to be very concerned about these Latino people who just happen to be the population in our country which is growing the most rapidly. So, you know, it's his motivation, the motivation to stop that, to slow that growth of minorities to, you know, what's the motivation there? The motivation of, and I'm not going to put all this on Donald Trump because he's just one man. I'm sure there's other people that are in agreement with him, you know, on all levels. But, you know, is it a white supremacist move? White power move going on? Is he really concerned about, you know, illegal aliens, M13 and all them guys, you know, Mexican mafia and stuff like that? You know, got all kinds of stuff going on here. So anyway, United States population history, you know, I think you guys probably know the indigenous population of Americans and all the continents of North America and South America combined was between 50 million and 100 million in the 1400s. This includes approximately 15 million people living in the Aztec Empire and around 6 million Inca. So North America at the time is uncertain and has been established to be between 5 and 15 million people. That's 5 and 15. We have another caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought, Q.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Carl?
What's up, brother? All right.
I was looking at the program on, I guess it was CNN, and they were saying how that whole Donald Trump thing and the demonizing Latin America was all about getting votes. So he's just appealing to his, his core supporters who are, I guess,
right,
racist. And that just drums them up to be, you know, for his, because his campaign promises that he's going to be hard on immigration and all that kind of stuff like that. And he was saying that the other guys, other Republicans, can kind of like chill out until election time come up. And then they can start really hitting the whole hard on immigration thing because they don't have to do it now. They can kind of relax and not get all that bad political press or whatever. So when it comes, I mean, when they really need it is when it's election time, so they can drum up those, you know, that racist blood and get those racist votes. So, yeah, sad.
Yeah, you're using that word race, and did they use the term race when you were talking, when you listened to this program or whatever? They use the term race. They still using that term?
They use the word. They're using terms like immigration reform or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be tough on immigration reform right now. You can wait until midterm or something like that, where you really need to drum up your support.
Mm.
Which I've talked to in the racist part because it sounds racist to me. No, wait till
you well, you don't have to say.
What's that?
No, you go ahead.
Say,
I've been talking all night.
Saki wants to, he's kind of giving a hint to the other Republicans, like Saki saying, you don't have to be so tough on immigrants right now. Just wait until election time comes, and then you can be tough on the immigrants, so that you can draw all of those votes to you. That's what Saki is saying to me.
Well, that's sad. You know, have you noticed that they have race on the documents when they actually about ethnicity and race and stuff like that? Have you noticed that on any documents that you've seen?
Have I seen any? Say that again.
Have you seen the word race on any document that you have been presented or came across?
I can't remember them saying that. They may say something about immigrants or what?
No, any document. Any document, application, anything.
Oh, yeah.
Any document. Do you see the word race being used?
You mean like when they ask you your race like that?
Any document, have you seen the word race being used? Any document, any situation, right? Do you see that word being used?
Yes.
Right. So, you never thought about why they're using that word if it was used, the word was a word that was used to support the idea of white supremacy and dominate minority groups?
I didn't
Why
think
is
that.
It so prevalent in our literature? And our, you know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? Why
mm-hmm.
is it so prevalent? Why does it exist so much, you know, like that? You know, why is it still there on these applications, on these, you know, when you're filling out paperwork, it actually, so I've seen some things that ethnic group and race. Okay, we got 90
uh-huh.
seconds left. Anyway, I want to thank callers for calling in. I want to thank all our listeners. I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show, the creator. And I want to thank everybody again for listening in, calling in, and stay tuned next week for our next show. And everybody, please do your own research. You know, on this subject. This is a very important subject. I want to say good night. Each one reach one. Each one teach one. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.